All right, let's take our Bibles if you have them this morning, and we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 2. And I know in the outline it has verses 7 through 14, but we're going to read verse 1 down through 19 because I think we need to hear this whole story. And so if you find it, when you find it, would you stand with me, please? And I'm going to have Rich is going to come up and read this for us today and just bless us. So when you find it, turn in your Bibles with me, okay? Did I say 2? I am sorry. 22.
Okay, here we go. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the knife and the fire. The two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on that boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will provide, be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for the opportunity to read your word, to read this story, and Lord God, to be encouraged. And Lord, as you have spoken to us through the book of Corinthians, Lord, that these things have been written for our knowledge, for our insight, for our warning. Lord God, I just pray that today you would encourage us and speak to us through this story as we read about Abraham and Isaac. And Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Thank you, Rich. All right. As we look at this, I wanted the whole story read because I don't know if many of us have been reading through the book of Genesis lately. And we've probably all read this story and heard of this story, but probably not recently. And so I wanted to just remind us about the story and what Abraham and God and Isaac were all doing there and how this was all playing out. And in the process of this, I was beginning to think about some of the things and the verses, and there's no way to be able to cover all of this and speak to the different things that are brought out in it. So I'm going to do my best to just kind of hit a few things this morning. And one of the things I want to look at is verse 5. And I think verse 5 is key to the rest of the whole story. Verse 5 says, "Then Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father." Now, I'm reading in the New King James. Rich was reading out of the NIV. And so in the New King James, it says that Abraham said to the young man, "Sit here with the donkeys, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship." Everyone say worship. Now, isn't that what we just did? Okay, so that's our concept of worship, all right? We sing songs, and we occasionally raise our hands, and we stand up and sit down whenever Dale tells us to, right? Okay, so that's in our mind of as worship, okay? And Abraham said to the servants, he says, "The lad and I, the young man and I, are going to go over yonder, over to the mountain, Mount Moriah, and we are going to worship." And then he says, "We are going to come back." Now, I think that's key because remember what God said. God said, "No, you're going to go sacrifice your son. You're going to go to this mountain that I'm going to show you, Mount Moriah, and you're going to go over there and you're going to sacrifice your son." And then Abraham says, "No, we're coming back." Now, I think that's interesting. For Abraham, before they even get up on the mountain, before they ever fix the altar, before they ever lay Isaac on there, before he ever picks up the knife, before he ever sees the lamb stuck in the thicket, he knows we're coming down. The two of us are coming down together. I believe when we spend time in worship, when we spend time in worship, and we worship by faith, I'm going to just make that statement. We need to worship by faith. Because if we're just worshiping and singing songs and that's all it really is, are we really worshiping by faith? Abraham was worshiping by faith. Because he knew the promise of God. He knew what God had promised him back in Genesis chapter 12. He says, "I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make you such a great nation where you are going to touch and impact every nation around. And that's going to come through your firstborn, Isaac, through your seed." So that's the promise, and that's what Abraham is going 3-day journey. Now, how many of you, after getting a command like that to go sacrifice your son, wouldn't think again about it before you got there? No, we would probably be thinking about it all the way. Well, Abraham worshiped God all the way, reminding God what he had said. To the point, Hebrews chapter 11 says it like this. Verse 17 says, "By faith," here we are, worshiping by faith, "Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son." Now remember, the promise was that you're going to bear a son. And through your son, all the nations are going to be blessed. That's the promise. Now, in Hebrews 11, he says that he offered up his son, the one whom he had received the promise through. So as he's receiving this promise, and he's going over this promise in his mind, and it says, in Isaac, your seed shall be called. So it's all going to be through Isaac. And now Abraham is preparing to go up on the mountain and sacrifice his son. And so through all of this, then he concludes, after a three-day journey, he concludes, after mulling over and thinking about this promise, you know what most of us would be figuring out? How am I going to do this? How am I going to make this work? You see, that's not faith. When we're trying to figure it out, that's not faith. Faith is standing on the promise, saying, God, your word is true. And it says in verse 19, he concluded that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Now, think about this. This is Abraham. This is in the very beginning. So this had never been done before. There had never been anybody raised from the dead to this point that we have record of. But yet, Abraham concluded that God was going to do it. I don't know how it's going to work, but even if I do sacrifice him, God can raise him from the dead. And where did he get that idea? Through his relationship with God. He had such a close relationship with God that he was concluding, after all of this three-day journey, thinking about what they were about to do, thinking about the promises of God, worshiping God through the promises. How many are standing on promises right now? All right? So you're standing on a promise. So when we worship God, your worship should not be just sitting here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And singing whatever it is. Your worship should be reminding God of his promise. Reminding God of what he's told you. Reminding God that he is a faithful God. He is a mighty God. He is the almighty God. We need to remind God what he's told us in his word. And the more we do, the more we worship him by faith, reminding not only God of the promise, but we're reminding ourselves of the promise. Reminding ourselves, God told me this, that through Isaac, not Ishmael, Isaac, everybody's going to be blessed. So I don't know how this is going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. You see, we spend way too much time trying to figure out the how instead of relying on the who. God's the who. He's the one who's going to do it. Not me. I'm just a participant here. I don't have to figure it out how this is going to work. I don't have to go out and figure out when he says he will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I don't have to go down to the bank and figure out how I'm going to do that. I need to go to the word, to the promise. God, I don't know how you told me this is going to work, but I know you said it, and so I'm going to do it. God, I don't know how you said that you healed all of our sicknesses and all of our diseases. The word says that by his stripes we were healed. I don't have to figure out how all that's going to happen, but Lord God, I thank you that it is. And Abraham, because he was reminding God of the promises, he built his faith up. See, when we worship in faith, we build our faith up in us. Because we're reminding ourselves of what God said he would do. We're reminding ourselves, God, you said this. And so I believe it. And Abraham spent 3 days going across the desert to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son, building his faith up. Not trying to figure out how God was going to do this. But he didn't know it was going to work. And even if he did have to kill his son, God was going to raise him up from the dead. Because that's where the promise was. The promise was in life, not death. Worship declares the promises back to God. And the promise was that he was going to have a son. And we've been talking about that the last few weeks. Worship builds our faith up to the point where we are fully, completely convinced that it's going to work. Because it says over in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, it says, He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened through faith. See, unbelief would have been trying to figure out how he's going to do it. Unbelief would have been thinking, okay, God, how can I help you on this? Or, God, how can you help me in this? Because a lot of times we get a plan and then we just expect God to help us. But see, God has a plan. And it's for our good. So I want to encourage you, when you're worshiping God, remind him of what he said. He's okay with us reminding him. Because we're not only reminding him, we're reminding ourselves, and we're declaring in the face of the gates of hell the promise of God. And don't you know, Satan hates it when you start quoting the promises of God. Because he can't do anything against the promise of God. He cannot do anything against that except try to get you to not believe it. But as we're worshiping him and we're building our faith up in that promise, there's not a doubt in there. Because we're worshiping in faith. We're believing God is able to do that. And he says, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Don't you know that Abraham was just as full of faith going up the mountain to the test as he was coming down after the victory? Now, personally, I won't include you because I don't know what you would be like, but personally, I would probably be more excited coming down. Yes, did you see that lamb was stuck there? He couldn't move. I would have been so excited. But see, when Abraham left the servants, he said, we're going to go up and worship, and we are coming back. He was just as confident going up the mountain as he was coming down. You see, that's what worshiping in faith does. That's what being fully convinced of the promise of God does. We can walk into situations fully convinced, fully persuaded that what God said he would do for us. Not just for somebody else, but for us. Not just for the person that's been in church for 50 years, but for me. You have to be fully convinced that God wants to do that for you. Fully convinced. And then you can go up the mountain with just as much joy, just as much excitement. You're not looking at, it's getting winter. Oh, man, I'm going to get sick again. I always get a cold at this time of the year. Oh, no. And you start moaning and groaning. That's not being fully convinced that God is able to heal. And not only heal, but keep you in divine health. See, if we're anticipating the failure of the promise, I miss the faith issue. We need to get into the faith and believe the promise of God, that He is able to bring us through that. When Isaac asked him, "Hey, Dad, I got the wood, you got the fire, you got the knife. Where's the sacrifice?" See, this is going up the mountains. He's got just as much faith going up. He says, "The Lord will provide." It's not, "Well, I just hope it doesn't happen this way again. I just hope I don't get sick with all those kids again. I just hope." No. He was fully convinced the Lord was going to provide the sacrifice. We need to worship in the face of the impossible. Remind God of what He has said builds our faith. When we declare what we believe, We're just standing there. You can stand toe to toe with the devil. You got the word of God. You're okay. You don't have to shake in your boots. You don't have to turn around and run and hide, because you have the promise of God. The problem is a lot of us haven't spent time worshiping in faith over the promise. Now, When I ask you if you all have promises, yeah, you all shook your head one way or the other. I mean, you were shaking your head. So you've got promises. But are we fully convinced? Because it says over in Isaiah chapter 43, God says, "Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted or made innocent." You see, many times we come to God with the promise. We don't feel like we can say anything to God about it. And then we don't feel worthy because we've got that Old Testament list of what we should be doing, and we're holding ourselves up against this unreasonable list. When God has said no, state your case that you may be acquitted. And some of the translations say you may be made innocent. That's what acquitted is. Why? Because of the blood. We can stand in the face of God and remind Him what He said. That's what He said. "Put me in remembrance. Remind me of what I said." You ever been praying and God say, "Now, what did I say about that?" And you're sitting there scratching your head. "I don't know, you should know, God, you said it." Now, He wants us to know. This isn't just because God has a bad memory. This is because He wants us to know what He said about it. God doesn't have a bad memory, but we tend to forget those things. And so, "Put me in remembrance. Let's contend together. Let's discuss this." You ever had a discussion with God about something that's not going your way? You start bringing the promises in, and guess who? Going to start listening to you. The one who gave the promise. And He is able to fulfill the promise that He gave. So I want to encourage you. There is so much more in this story. We got one verse, okay? So There is a whole lot more there we could talk about. But think about this. He goes to the end of the story, and it says, a lot of times we will stop at verse 14, and it says, the Lord will provide. We sing that song. Do we sing that song, Jehovah Jireh, here? We do in Odessa. I don't know if we do it here. Years ago we did? Okay. So Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. And we would sing that. And we sing about God providing. And that's all here. This is where this comes out, right here, verse 14. But then that's where we normally stop reading because it's a cool verse. But verse 15 says, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. A second time. Once was not enough. A second time he calls out, and he says in verse 17, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply you, your descendants, as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of your enemy. What's he doing? He's contending with Abraham. He's reminding Abraham what the promise was all about. This is what we're going to do. This is how this is going to work. It's through your son Isaac. Verse 18, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Isn't that an awesome promise? And I'll bet you that was not the last time God and Abraham had this conversation. They probably talked about this promise all the time. Every time Abraham had sand stuck in his sandals, he's remembering that promise. When he goes out at night to stretch before he goes to bed and he looks up in the sky and he sees, look at all those stars. That's going to be my kids. That's how many. Man, we're going to have a party. He's looking up and seeing all those kids up there. As many as the stars in the sky. See, that's what God did. He gave him the promise and then he gave him reminders along the way. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I have done. I have made you the father of many nations. I have made, I will make you. He said, I have made you. What has God done in your heart? What has God done? Now we all have a promise. Now remember, let's go back to Hebrews. And it says, in Isaac, your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, which he also received him in a figurative sense. That's faith. That's the faith comes in there. It says, yes, by faith, Abraham did this. And in a sense, by faith, he received it. Abraham, by faith, received the promised land 450 years before he ever got into the promised land. He received it by faith. In his mind, he was so convinced, this is what's going to happen. Because by faith, that's what the word says. That's what the promise says. Are you fully convinced in your promise? Are you fully convinced that the God who promised you that promise is able to do it for you? That's where he's at right there in Hebrews 11. He concluded that God was able to raise him up. And even he did, figuratively, he did receive him back from the dead because it was a done deal. They were coming back down the mountain. It was by faith. Are we there yet? I would like to say yes, but I'm probably not yet. I hope you're better than I am. But I know me. I have promises, and yet there's days I need to go back and worship some more. You know, it's like, I got to remind you, God, and I got to remind myself. And so this is a process that we grow in our faith by meditating and reading and worshiping in faith. So I want to encourage you this week. Take some time and get your Bible and sit down and begin to worship God and read your promises over and over and over and over. Because the Word says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Sit down and read it over and over and over. Let that faith arise within you so that you can stand with confidence and say, it's mine. And you see, when you do that, it's mine, and you don't have it yet, you're going to look like Abraham. It's not a bad deal. What was he calling himself? The father of many nations. Oh, my name's Abraham, the father of many nations. How many kids you got? None. You see what that looks like? You're in good company. So don't just say, oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can. Take it by faith. Say, God, I'm going to stand on that word. I want to be fully convinced that what you said, I know you can do it. I don't have to know how you're going to do it, but I know you're going to do it. If you got to do the impossible, so be it. Let's do it.